Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Hey there, and welcome to our Friday Bible study. This is a subsection of the Ribs and Knits podcast where you and I get to spend some time just reading the Bible. We're going to go through series where we read different books of the Bible, starting with Ephesians. Only a little 5-7-10 minute study where you and I just dive into the Bible a little bit together. But there is so much more for you than just these studies. Make sure you're spending time with the Lord every single day and hanging out with him and just hearing what he wants to say. If you're new to the Bible and you don't really understand it, I encourage you to go and check out season 2 of the Ribs and Knits podcast where we covered an episode on the Bible. My prayer is that these Friday studies really encourage you and help you grow in the word and help you understand the Bible a little bit more. These studies are a subsection of the podcast, and these will happen every single Friday. So even when the podcast is on a break for different series, these will happen every Friday. So I hope you enjoy these, and yeah, let's get stuck into the Bible together. Hello and welcome to the Friday Bible study with me, Em. This is like a subsection of the Ribs and Knits podcast where we're going through the Bible. At the moment, we're going through Ephesians 1. I say at the moment, this is like a new thing I'm doing, which is like, you know, people have been saying they want a little more than just the pod. So we're doing a Bible study. We're going to go through Ephesians. And so we're going to start with Ephesians 1 today. These are just going to be little 5 minute things. So I'm going to put a little, I might put a 7 minute timer on just in case. Just in case I need a little more. So to make sure I'm not keeping you guys. And I hope this is not your only time with the Lord. Like, if this is all you're doing with the Lord, make sure you're hanging out with him. Like, this Bible study is just a once a week thing where you and me, we just get to read the Bible together. So let's open our Bibles to Ephesians 1 and we're just going to read this together. Oh, it's a lot to read. Oh, maybe I'll get through it. Maybe I won't, but we'll go. And also, guys, my notes are on my phone. So please don't judge me if it looks like I'm going on my phone all the time. I promise I'm not. I wrote them on here. I don't know, that was a weird decision of mine, but I don't want to use a notebook. Do you guys use a notebook? Anyway. Okay, let's start. To the saints of Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption, through his blood the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made us known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the time will have reached its fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we have also been chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity and with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were first to hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is deposited, guaranteeing our inheritance until redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. There is more, but we'll just stop there because it's kind of long, and I'm not the best at reading. So the first thing I wanted to point out is the bit where it says to the saints. It's just basically right at the start, it starts with to the saints of Ephesus, and it's basically saying like to God's holy people. Like, the word here I looked up is hagioi, or hagioi. I can't speak Greek, guys, which refers to those who are set apart, who belong to God. This letter, it says to the saints in Ephesus. This is to anyone who is a Christian, anyone who's given their life, anyone who basically wants to grow in being removed from their sin. Praise be. It says, praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Like, the letter begins with praising God. It begins with giving thanks to God. Like, it just reminds me that, like, everything needs to start with thanks for God. Like, when you wake up in the morning, when you're, like, when you have dinner, when you have breakfast, when you're, like, you just hang out with a friend. It's, like, every situation just beginning with thanks be to God. And like when we address other Christians and we're like talking things over, like what we need to improve, what we need to work on, like discerning things together, like begin with praising God. Like that's how the letters are started. And that's like, I think that's a really good encouragement to us. Guys, I need to put my phone on Do Not Disturb. My friend Maisie's texting me. Hey, Maisie. But the Hebrew for praise be is baraka. Again, can't speak Hebrew, which basically means Paul is praising God for what is done through Christ and reminds believers to immediately worship and give thanks to God for saving us. So like this praise be means like, thank you for sending Jesus to die for me, like, which I love. Like we begin everything with thanking God for the reason for living, Jesus. And it goes on later to say we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. It says blessed and that we are blessed in Christ. And these blessings come through our relationship with Jesus. So it's not our behavior that gets us these things, but it's because we are in Christ that we are saved. We're in Christ. Like he died for us and then we chose a life with him and now we're in Christ. And these spiritual blessings later are in verse 7, it says forgiveness of sins. In verse 5, it says adoption into God's family. In verse 7, it says our redemption. In verse 13, the sealing of the Holy Spirit. It's later, it says wisdom, grace, purpose, inheritance. Like these are all the spiritual blessings that come through being in Christ. It's like you have forgiveness of sins because you are in Christ. You have an adoption into God's family because you're in Christ. You have redemption because you're in Christ. You have a sealing of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is within you because you are in Christ. And like this whole thing comes under the later it says that you are adopted. Like it's basically we gain familial rights the minute that we are in Christ. And we are like once we were part of an outside of the family, like we were living in sin, we were living not doing the best things, and now we're in Christ and we have this, like we have rights that we have because we are adopted. Like I have the rights to call him my father and to expect things from him and to, you know, live as a daughter and live out and call on him and talk to him and, you know, have a relationship with him because I've been fully adopted. And adoption means we are guaranteed full inheritance. Like, isn't that so cool? Like, it's not like, oh, only the son of God who's like, blood relative. Only blood relatives get inheritance. But in this situation, it's like, no, if you're adopted, you get full inheritance. You are going to heaven. You are having eternal life. You are having this, like, it's amazing what we get. Like, such, like, so many bonuses. Like, we get Jesus. We get freedom. We get, you know, saved from sin, and we get eternal life at the end of it all. Like I live in so much freedom in my life. Like I'm so, like my life is just so full of joy and excitement because I have this adoption, but I also have something to live for, which is like in the future. There is an eternal life that I get to live for, which is like super cool. In verse 7, it says redemption, and the Greek word for here, guys, I went hard on my Greek and my Hebrew here, is apolytrosis. apolytrosis. Don't know what that means, but it means refers to the act of paying for to free a slave. So it used to be that when slavery was around back in these days, like there was a freed slave and a slave. A freed slave is someone who has bought that slave and allowed them to live a free life. So I could, maybe this slave has done a good deed for me, or they've just been a really good person, or we developed a friendship when they were my slave. And so there's a decision to free that slave, pay out the money it costs to buy that slave, and then free them. And so what this is saying is that we are like a freed person, like the Lord paid for us, but that doesn't mean he paid for us and then we now have to live like in his inheritance. Like we have to like choose him. He like freed us, and then that from that freedom we can now go out and I can choose to choose him and live under his roof and be adopted, or I can be a freed slave who goes, I don't want anything to do with you, I want freedom, I want to go live my life and I want to just do whatever I want to do. And so that's like something so cool about like this word redemption. It just basically means like I've been redeemed through Christ. I've been freed. I've been set free. He's set me apart and said, you can be free from the sin and the life that and the eternal damnation, but you don't have to choose it. It's like your choice. You're a freed slave. You can do what you choose. You can choose me or you can choose a different life. And that I respect God so much for that. Like thanks for paying for the price of my sin and all of that. But also thank you for giving me free will to choose you, because now I have, and he lives as my father. And it's like such a beautiful relationship. It's a relationship. It's not a slave and an owner. It's a father and a child. And I love verse 14. It says the Holy Spirit is deposited. And this deposit is like a bank deposit. It's like I'm putting down money on a house because I want to own this house. I want to have this house. And this house will be mine for always. So when he's depositing his Holy Spirit in you, he's saying, this is my child. She will live with me eternally. We will have a relationship forever. And this is my deposit, my proof that she is mine and I am hers. And we are going to be together forever. Because when you have the Holy Spirit come into you and you know you live with the Holy Spirit, there's like a guarantee. I don't know if you've ever had those questions where you've been like, oh, am I saved? Does he love me? You know, because you've had an experience with the Holy Spirit. You know, because you feel him within you. You know, because he has come over you and you like feel the Holy Spirit and you've had experiences with the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit is guiding you and leading you. That is your deposit. That is your all the proof you need. That you like, that's the answer. Like, you have eternal life. The Lord has saved you, he's redeemed you, and it's brilliant. Verse 15 to 22, which I didn't get to read out, is basically a thankful prayer. And I love verse 18, which is basically talking about like the hope we have in the Lord and this like fullness that we have in salvation. And so if you guys have time after this, like definitely read through verse 15 to 22, which goes on to talk about how everything is at Jesus's feet and he is the head of the church, and the head of the church fills you, and in everything that you do, in every way that you live, the Lord Jesus is within you and within that, and he is like totally working everything out. So if you have time after this, definitely read through verse 15 to 22, because so worth your time, and definitely will open your eyes to just like the way that Jesus is working through the church, in the church, and through you. My main takeaway is that the Spirit is proof that I have eternal life. The Spirit is proof that the Lord has adopted me and taken me in. And that removes all my confusion in my head about whether I'm saved or not saved. And also embracing him means that he will lead me into full life and that I have like an expectancy for my inheritance. So I don't know what your takeaway is, but mine is that I have expectancy that God will move and work in my life, and that the proof is in the Holy Spirit and his in workings in me. But yeah, that's Ephesians 1, guys. We'll do Ephesians 2 next week, and that's brill. So, as I said, these are short little 5-minute things. Don't let this be your only time with the Lord. Don't let this be all you get with Jesus, but make sure you're hanging out with him daily, reading your Bible, praying, hanging out with your Christian friends, going to church, really like spend time in the secret place. But this is just a little add-on, a little 5-minute add-on each week. But yeah, see you next week. Bye.